السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما، وارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه، وادخلنا برحمتك في عبادك الصالحين، آمين يا رب العالمين. Welcome everybody to day 5 of our Fiqh al-Salah series or course. And as usual, we like to start with our muraja'a, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So, alhamdulillah, last week, so we've done so far the ruling of the prayer, the iqama and the adhan. We spent 2 weeks on the conditions, the shurut of the salah. We're going to review those quickly. And today, inshallah, and next week, we'll be discussing one of the most important chapters, which is Babu Sifat al-Salah, which is the chapter on the description of the prayer. Why would that be the most important chapter, or one of the most important chapters? Yeah, so this is the one that really describes how to pray. So now, with this, in this chapter, he'll explain to you exactly how to pray. Tamam. And so, of course, and we know Salah is one of the most important ibadat, really, in our deen, and we discussed that the person without salah, it's almost like he's not even a Muslim. Tamam? That's why it's one of the most... So if you missed, مثلاً, you know, zakah, and you missed siyam, and yes, that's not good if you have to fast and pay your zakah. But as-salah is up there in the, from one of the most important chapters. and طبعاً, he says the most important chapter because if you didn't study, you know, the chapter on salat al-khusuf, right? Okay. It's not a big deal, because one of those not obligatory prayers. It's not a big deal. But the main obligations for a person who's baligh, then it is mandatory for him too. And as you can see, we have a lot to cover for the fiqh of salah, inshallah. Some of the chapters are a bit shorter. This one is a bit from the longer ones. طيب, let's start with some review. السؤال الأول. Usually I have candy, but we already have sugar here, so... Alhamdulillah, you're all active now. So the first question is, how many conditions are there for the validity of the prayer? We mentioned shurut. Huh? If you can have a hand. Sitta? Six? Tayyib, mashallah, yes. So we have six shurut for the validity of the prayer. Yani these are the six things you have to have qabla bidayat salah. Before Maghrib right now, you had to have had these six things. Tamam? Tayyib. What are the six? Bismillah. Who's got all six of them? You told me last time. اتفضل يا اتفضل. Bismillah. An-niyya. Jameel. You can ask your neighbors to help you. Naam. An-niyya. What else? So at-tahara, really, the one that we covered in the beginning. At-tahara wa an-niyya. What else? Dukhul waqt as-salah. The time that, you know, the time of the salah has to enter, right? For you to pray. Naam. Al-Qibla, we need to be facing the Qibla. Now we need to face Mecca. What else? Huh? Covering the Awra, and one more, avoiding the Najasat. Avoiding Najasat, right? You have to start your prayer without having any Najasa, right? Unless you don't know about it. Mumtaz, those six, you should know them. Okay? Again, Tahara, and the entry of time, right? Covering the Awra, the Qibla, removing Najasat, and the last one is An-Niyya. Now. Jameel. Number three says, if a person unknowingly prays with a najasa, is his prayer valid? It's a good question. You enter salah, you have no clue, but there's a najasa on you. Something impure. Yeah, I don't know, there's something on you. You change the diaper and there's something, or whatever it is. Something that has a najasa. And you prayed and you had no idea. So this is a fatwa right now. Tafadhal. Jamil, good. And we know this from Hadith Jibreel. So he said that not Hadith Jibreel, the main Hadith of Islam and Iman, but the Hadith when Jibreel came to the Prophet Sallam, and he informed him that he had some najasa on his na'al, on his shoe, and the Prophet Sallam removed it in the middle of Salah. We learned two things here, that you know, you can remove your shoe or your clothes during Salah if there's a najasa. That's fine. And number two here, that, you know, the Prophet ﷺ wouldn't have known right? And if someone wouldn't have known and just prayed and never ever would have found out, then inshallah his salah is maqbula because there's no way for him to know. Tamam. And if he finds out later, oh my God, I prayed in the najasa, it's better for him to repeat it. It's better for him to repeat it. Type. In which places are we not allowed to pray? We mentioned seven plus the roofs of all those seven. What are the seven? Let's go through the seven. So graveyard. Toilet. Where people shower. Naam, the places where the camels eat. Naam. In the middle of the road, mashallah. Naam, al-mazbala, sah. I think you need just one more. At a slaughterhouse, al-masjid, mashallah. He deserves like a big box of cookies, mashallah. Mashallah, well done. That's really good, tabarakallah. And he went in order too, mashallah. Excellent, mashallah. Naam, so those places we're not allowed to pray, and their roofs as well. Those places we're not allowed to pray because of the najasat, right? Number five, in what two situation is the condition of facing the Qibla excused? Do you remember we said that it's a shart, it's a condition, but there are two situations where you are excused. Is the volume? Should I intentionally put it down? But I guess I will intentionally put it back up. Bismillah. That's better, inshallah. Tayyib, so we talked that from shurut, from the condition of salah, is that you have to be facing the Qibla. Tamam? But we said there's two situations where it's like relaxed. It's not really, it's excused. Who remembers those? Naam? So it's some a musafir who's praying a nafila. A musafir who's praying an extra prayer, tamam, like a sunnah prayer. Then for him, the qibla, and we have a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ did that multiple times, and it's clear because he's going from where he was going from. From Mecca to Medina, yani the Qibla is right behind him. If you think of the geography, we have Mecca and then Medina is north. Tamam. So if you're going this way, and he's praying on his camel, there's no way he's facing the Qibla. The other way, you're facing it. طيب. And what's the other situation? Someone who's not able to, or out of fear. Naam. Someone who's sick, unable to. Mathalan, someone, I don't know, he's paralyzed and he can't move the bed or something like that. But that person is excused, or someone who's doing it out of fear and he cannot, his life is in danger or something like that. We talked of some similar situations. Or he just doesn't know. He doesn't know. But inshallah, that shart is excused for him. Condition. Can you ask a non-Muslim for the direction of the Qibla? Ah, Salim. He has no other option, and he's a trustworthy person. He's not intoxicated. Okay? You can ask him, inshallah. And he'll tell you the direction. That should be fine, inshallah. Taban, you always try to do it yourself. If you know, use your phone. But if you remember, our phone is always broken in our fiqh classes. So we can, inshallah, benefit. Tayyib, can you make your niyyah after takbirat al-ihram? The last condition was that you have to have a niyyah. If you say, Allahu Akbar, and now you're like, okay, I'm praying Maghrib now. Can you do that? La. This is a. So we said that an-niyya. Some of the madhahab, اختلفوا في هذا. They had a difference of opinion. The Hanabila, they said the niyya is a shart. It has to happen before. Do you remember we said conditions have to happen before? فأنت قبل الصلاة, because as soon as takbir al-ihram is said, you are in salah, right? And we said if you enter salah without a niyya, okay, it'll be a nafila, okay? And we said also we can go from... Is that the next question? Yeah, that's the next question. Can you change your intention after takbir al-ihram? And it's a different salah? Yeah, ahsant. So, fard to nafil. So, if you get in and, initially it was a maghrib salah, a fard, okay, obligatory prayer, and you're like, you know what, I want to pray two sunnah, okay? You're allowed to do that. But vice versa, no. The opposite, no. If you enter with a... sunnat al-fajr. Like, let's say the time is running out, right? I think now it's 8:06 or something, 8:08. Time is running out. It's like 8:00. You don't realize. You say Allahu Akbar, and your intention is, to pray sunnah of fajr, and you're like, oh, there's no time. You saw the watch in front of you. You're like, there's no time. Can you change? You can't. Okay. Either you finish it and you pray. If you really think that you're not gonna make it, you end the salah, because remember we said that the fard, it's more wajib. it's more important to get that in time than your sunnah, than your even though the sunnah is a very high level sunnah, the sunnah of Fajr. طيب, Bismillah. Let's start. So the author now goes into Babu صفات الصلاة. Babu صفات الصلاة. And for those who sometimes we forget, we're doing أخص المختصرات. This is a Hanbali introductory book, and we're reading. We're gonna try to read the Arabic as well, inshallah, just for the benefit. So he says Babu صفات الصلاة. So this is the chapter on the description of the salah. So the first thing he mentions is the sunan before you start your salah. So he says, يسن خروجه إليها متطهرا بسكينة ووقار مع قول ما ورد. So he says, it is from the sunnah to do your wudu at home. From the sunnah, okay, that you do your wudu at home. طبعا, if you can't, no problem. It's a sunnah. It's not like you're sinful. But it's better to do your wudu at home. And you go to the masjid calmly. We have a hadith about that. And so sometimes we see people running to the salah. We shouldn't run for the salah, right? You're not going to be able to pray properly. You're going to be like breathing heavily, etc. Okay, you might say, well, I can hear them. They're in, this is more common in the Muslim countries where they have the megaphone on. And so you can hear him. If he's reading, مثلاً, first you're walking slowly, and you see this, like when I was in Riyadh, now they stopped it, subhanAllah. But he'd be reading Fatiha and you're walking to the salah, you're late, right? And then you're like, oh, there's time. Then he's like, inna atainaka al-kawthar. And then the guy's like, oh my God, I have to run. So they run and they just kick their flip-flops and this is not from the sunnah. This is not from the sunnah. Does it invalidate your prayer? No, but it's not from the sunnah to do that. So he says, يعني بسكينة, with calm and waqar and a dignified manner. I'm going to do something great. I'm going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the kind of the psychology that you're telling yourself. I'm going to meet and stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to one of the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he reads the dua for going to the masjid. There's some different narrations of different du'as. The ones that, one of the most, I guess, popular ones that you see, this is narrated by Ibn Abbas, I believe here, he says in the Hashiya, which is, Allahumma ja'al fi qalbi nura. And the dua, basically, this is you going to the masjid. This is you going to the masjid. You say this dua, and it's a beautiful dua. يعني اللهم اجعل في قلبي نورا وفي لساني نورا واجعل في سمعي نورا واجعل في بصري نورا واجعل من خلفي نورا. And basically you're saying, oh Allah, put nur, light, right, in my heart, put nur in my eyes, in my hearing, in front of me, from the top of me. It's a very beautiful dua, right? And inshallah this will give you more benefit from the salah, right? Because we can go to the masjid or we can pray our salah and, check it's done. Inshallah, we won't be asked about it if we did it properly. But we want to get more out of it. If you remember, we talked about we want to get more out of the salah. This is one of the first steps. One of the things that the Salaf mentioned about getting khushu' in salah and getting benefit from salah is the way you prepare for it. And so even in tahara we mentioned, remember, we said even sometimes, it's even if you have wudu, do wudu again because it gets you ready for salah, right? Do this dua, it'll get you ready for salah. You're asking Allah to put nur in your heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put nur in our hearts. So and if you don't know the dua, you need to try to memorize it, inshallah. It's very easy, right? And then we are in front of the masjid now. And of course, we enter with which foot? The right foot. And what dua do we say? I think we have it on the wall there. Bismillah. Wa salatu wa salam ala rasulullah. Allahumma iftahli abwaab rahmatik. Allahumma iftahli abwaab rahmatik, which means you say Bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the name of Allah, and then you send peace and blessings upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then you say Allahumma iftahli abwaab rahmatik. Oh Allah, open before me your doors of your mercy. The doors of your mercy. What a beautiful dua to enter the masjid with, right? And of course then there's a dua when you leave, right? Allahumma nas'aluka min fadlik. Oh Allah, I ask you from your fadl, right? So it's really beautiful. Yani if you get into that, inshallah, it will help you get ready for salah. بإذن الله تعالى. So these are from the Sunan. And then he says, you find this in some of the books of fiqh. He says, بسكينة وقار مع قولي ما ورد. That's the dua that we mentioned. وقيام إمام فغير مقيم إليها عند قول مقيم قد قامت الصلاة. So then he says, And this is not something you have to do, but yeah, it's something that they say it's recommended, that you stand for the prayer. The hadith is a bit weak, but in the madhab they say you stand when the iqama is, not when the iqama starts, when he says, قَدْ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةِ. Which قَدْ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةِ means what? Basically, the salah has been now called. Yeah, قَدْ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةِ, that the iqama has been made. Yani it's time for you to get up. And people do it, yani, even in the Islamic schools they do it. Yani, and that's fine. If you don't do it, that's fine. Yani, if you don't do it, that is fine. And the Hanabila, they say that you get up when the imam is there. This is an interesting question. So, do you have to wait for the imam? Can someone else go in front of the imam? In the books of fiqh, in the places where the imam is a imam designated for salah. So here, a few masjid have it, most masjid don't, I don't think so. But when you go to Saudi Arabia and other countries, there's an imam for the salah, and there's a muaddin, and they like live with the masjid, like they live next to the masjid. And so he's supposed to be there for all the five prayers. Tamam. So in that case, you're not supposed to start until the imam comes. And if the imam is not there, usually the muaddin is there. Right? It doesn't happen where like he just doesn't come. Like it happens here. Like for us here, it's a bit more difficult. The imam lives a bit far. Sometimes he has different situations. So here, you wouldn't wait. Yani. And we get this from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. He says, like, don't get up until you see me leave the room. Because we know his room, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was with the masjid. Right? So this is where they get this, that you have to wait for the imam. But that's only if there's an imam who's prescribed for the masjid five prayers. Does that make sense? Tamam. Here, it's okay. And if the imam doesn't come, and some masjid have a list of people to pray the salah. You know, we don't have one yet, but maybe we'll get one in the future. Naam. Tayyip. So now that the salah is about to start. So now we're about to start the salah, the beginning of the salah. So the first thing you do is what? Takbir al-ihram. Right? And takbir al-ihram is so important. And even just to reflect upon its meaning. Right? Takbir al-ihram is when you say Allahu Akbar. You raise your hands. Right? طبعًا the author, he says here, he says, وَيَرْفَعُ فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ. So he says now Allahu Akbar. وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ فِي فَرْضٍ. طبعًا in a fard you have to be standing. We'll mention later that standing is one of the arkan in an obligatory prayer. In a sunnah prayer, you don't have to stand. And if you prayed your sunnah of Maghrib right now sitting down, no one can blame you. There's no blame for that. So he says, Allahu Akbar to begin the prayer, and he must be standing in the fard prayer, right? In the obligatory prayer, you have to be standing unless you have an excuse. What's an excuse? Huh? Yeah, even the person who can stand, and he should stand. And if he has a problem with his knee, he stands, okay? And then when he's going down, yeah, he can sit on the chair, مثلا. But even he should stand. What's another excuse? There's a place you can't stand, مثلا. The roof is too low. We talked about, and this is a big difference of opinion about the plane, right? Do you still have to stand up in the plane? A huge group of ulama, they said you have to. Because it's not an excuse. Others said, well, you can't really, it's hard to get up in the, I don't know, for some people it's too short, and then there's no khushu' if you stand up, etc. Yeah, that could be one of the situations where you don't have to do that. But we'll talk about it when we get to the arkan. Now we're just describing the salah. So he says, Allahu Akbar, right? Saying takbir al-ihram is a rukun, and standing in fard is a rukun. Rukun means what? What's a rukun? Because now we're using fiqh terms. Rukun is a pillar. And we said pillar is like a shart. Yani if you forget it, you have to redo the act of worship. A rukun is a pillar. Without a pillar, the building falls. So without your rukun, after we finish the description of the salah, we're going to talk about arkan as-salah, and we're going to talk about wajibat as-salah. The pillars of salah and the obligations of salah. So those things happen inside the prayer, right? And the difference between them, we'll talk about it inshallah next week, is that one of them, Salat al-Sahu, will suffice. And the other one, you have to redo it. You actually have to redo it. So he says, this must be said when he is fully standing, yani Allahu Akbar. Only the words Allahu Akbar accepted and nothing else. I think in Imam Abu Hanifa, he allowed to say other things that are similar. Okay? The Hanabila say, no, it has to be said exactly because we don't have any other reason to change it. So you say exactly, Allahu Akbar. And this is a beautiful saying if you reflect upon it. You are basically, when you're going to pray, and this should help with our khushu' yani. You're about to enter salah, and you're about to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and basically you're saying, Allahu Akbar. We're just going to, yani, kind of, on a side note, Akbar in the Arabic language is what kind of word? Superlative. It's called superlative, right? Tafdil, yani. You say, and usually you say, مثلاً, هذا أفضل من هذا. وهذا أكبر من هذا. يعني وهذا أسرع من هذا. Faster, bigger, smaller than. This is called a superlative, right? Inshallah. You know your English grammar. That's good. Here it doesn't really say. It says Allahu Akbar. It doesn't say أكبر من ماذا. Some of the ulama, they said, this is you saying Allah is Akbar than anything that you were doing. Akbar than the PlayStation, Akbar than the TV, Akbar than the work. Allah is greater than your we have some excuses sometimes to finish. مثلا, if you're eating, you finish your meal, as long as there's some time. And so Allah is greater than anything that you could be doing. تمام? And so when you hear the adhan, Allahu Akbar, and you have to think about Allah is greater, and you're like watching TV or something, Allahu Akbar, drop what you're doing. Because if you understand that and you say, no, I'm going to keep watching, what are you kind of saying? Yeah, you're saying that, مشاهدة التلفاز أكبر يعني والعياد. So it's not really, you shouldn't do that. طيب. جميل. He says here, there should be no gap between the two words. Right? You shouldn't say Allah Akbar. Right? You shouldn't do that. And you say it while you're raising your hands. Right? You say it while you raise your hands. طيب. جميل. So he says here, وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ فِي فَرْضٍ رَافِعًا يَدَيْهِ إِلَى حَذْوَ مَنْكِبَيْهِ المناكب, okay, المناكب, these are the مناكب, right? These like kind of your shoulder, like where the shoulder meets the arm. So he says, you put your hand up here. Right? So when you say Allahu Akbar, we're starting the salah, you say Allahu Akbar. Tamam. There's other narrations. And something to mention in the salah, in the fiqh of salah, is that you will find some different narrations. And so the ulama, they said it's fine to do different ones. Like we have narrations where he would do it up to the ears. We have a hadith that where you would go up to the ears, right? And a hadith where it would go up to here. And even with the holding the hands, we'll talk about that. And so it's flexible. And you shouldn't make a big deal about it. Tamam? Unless we have a clear hadith saying that you shouldn't do X or X, Y, or Z. For here he says, you do it here. This is the madhab. But you can also do it by the ears. That's fine, right? And your hands, they say they should be flat, parallel. So that's what he means by حذوى منكبيه, يعني by his shoulders. ثم يقبض بيميني عفوا بيمناه كوع يسراه. So يمينه meaning his right. Okay. Are we there? Yes. Your hands should be raised up to the shoulders. Your fingertips should be parallel to your shoulders, like we said, like this. Allahu Akbar. Saying the takbir should be with the movement starting with Allah. Right. So Allahu Akbar. So two things you have to be careful about is don't say it before and then move your hand. And don't move your hand and then say Allahu Akbar. Try to do it while you're doing. The Hanabil are strict on that. They say you have to do it with the intiqal while you're doing it. Right? Allahu Akbar, like that. Does that make sense? So you shouldn't say Allahu Akbar like that. Right? And you shouldn't go like this. Allahu Akbar. Try to do it together. While you're doing it, and that's going to go for everything else. While you're going from standing to ruku', while you're coming up, while you're going to sujood, you should also do them together. He says here, it's recommended all movements and takbirat should be done simultaneously and not before or after the movement. طيب. Jameel. So now he says, yeah, so this is what he says now. You take your right hand, okay, how do you hold your hand? You do it here, there's people who go like this, there's people. So, I don't know if the camera can see it, but maybe after the whole description, we'll do like a whole maybe demonstration here. But you hold your left, he says, you hold your left wrist with your right hand, right? So this is your wrist, right? يَقْبِضْ بِيُمْنَاهُ كُوعَ. This is the كُوع. The كُوع is right here, right? It's like kind of the bone that goes with the thumb. So كُوعَ يُسْرَى وَيَجْعَلْهُمَا تَحْتَ سُرَّتِهِ. So he holds it like this, okay? He holds it like this. تمام. السُرَّة, what's the سُرَّة? Surah is your Yeah, and so he mentions here the navel, right? And so technically you're supposed to, the Hanabila, this is one of the narrations, and this is the narration of Ali radiallahu anhu. You put it like this, right? So you kind of lock it like this, and you put it like this, okay? And so you see people, they do their salah like this, tamam? But what about this? Okay, what about this? The madhab, actually, there's technically three opinions. The one I just showed you, which is the most common, tahta surratihi, surratihi afwan, his what's a surah again? What's the translation? Naam? Belly button, right? Yeah. Shukran. Yeah, I forgot about it. Taib. Then he says, the other opinion is that he can put it in the middle here. So that's also accepted. None of the actual madhahib say you put it up here. And like this is, it became very common. But none of the actual madhahib, none of the four madhahib mentioned putting it on the breast here, like on the chest high up here. Even though it's very common to do. And actually in the madhab, it's makruh to do that. It's makruh to put it up here. So in the madhab, either you put it like this below your navel, okay, your belly button, or you put it in the middle, or you can switch between both. Yeah, that's fine. Tamam. And he says, same for women. Same for women. So in the madhab, it's just like to put it here because none of the madhab went with that opinion. And I believe there's a hadith about that. It has some weakness, but that's why he mentions that. Tayyib. So we're good with that. So now we've put our hand here. Okay, Allahu Akbar, before I hear. It says, person should look at the place of his sujood. وَيَنْظُرُ مَسْجَدَهُ وَيَنْظُرُ مَسْجَدَهُ مَسْجَدَهُ يعني مكان السجود. Okay, مَسْجَدَهُ يعني مكان السجود. And he will look, so now you might say, where am I supposed to look? So he says, he looks at his place of sujood. He looks at his place of sujood. He's not looking around, he's not looking up. Okay, وَيَنْظُرُ إِلَى مَسْجَدَهُ فِي كُلِّ صَلَاتِهِ ثُمَّ يَقُولُ. So he, in his whole salah, Except they say when you're in your tashahud and you're doing your tashahud and you raise your finger, you can look at your finger. There's some narrations about that, that when he did the sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would look at his finger. Tayyib. So should look at his face. During tashahud, he looks at his raised finger. He should start with the dua al-istiftah. So dua al-istiftah now, so you've said Allahu Akbar. Do we go straight into Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen? No. It's recommended to do what? A dua. There's multiple du'as. The ones that is the most, I guess popular. You know, Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik wa tabarak asmuk tu'ala jadduk wa la ilaha ghayruk, right? Which here, and the Hanabila, they prefer this one because there's a lot of praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you're praising Allah Subhanak Allahumma, right? You're praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa bihamdik wa tabarak asmuk tu'ala jadduk wa la ilaha ghayruk. And so it's a beautiful du'a. Right, you're praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while you're standing in front of him, right? There's other du'as that you can memorize. Some scholars, they say it's good to memorize more than one and change. Why? Why would they say that? It doesn't become routine. فتغير. One day you do this, one day you do that. It's good to know both of them, right? If you don't say this, is your salah valid? Your salah is valid. This is just something that is recommended. Yeah. وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُكَ طيب. And then he says, ثُمَّ يَسْتَعِيذُ الْإِسْتِعَاذَ. So now he does the isti'adha. What's the isti'adha? أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Right? Allah subhanahu says, if you're going to read the Qur'an, then seek refuge in Allah from a shaytan rajim. Al-isti'adha. Al-isti'adha is asking or seeking protection in Allah from a shaytan rajim. And this should be done in every rak'ah or in the first rak'ah only? First is enough. If you forget the first one, do the second one. But you should do the isti'adha because Allah told us, فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ, when you are about to read the Qur'an, فَاسْتَعِدْ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. And if you don't, he might come and bother you, right? He's going to come bother you in your salah. Okay? طبعاً الاستعادة, there's different versions of it. I think we covered it in the class on Surah Al-Fatiha. Right? So this is something of a sunnah. Your salah is still valid. And then you say the basmala, which is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The question of is the basmala part of Fatiha or not, and do we say it out loud or not, it comes into this chapter here, right? And the obviously you know that some scholars, they said Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is part of Al-Fatiha. And another group said what? That Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is not part of Fatiha, right? And the Hanabila take the second opinion that it's not part of Al-Fatiha. Why? Because of the famous Hadith Qudsi, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I've broken my salah in half between me and my slave, and he starts mentioning the Fatiha. And he does not start with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Right? And so, and that's why in the madhab, you don't say, when you're about to pray, you don't say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah. Right? You say it quietly. And then if you're praying loud, يعني, a loud prayer, and then you say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So you say the Basmala quietly because it's not part of Al-Fatiha according to the madhab. If somebody prays the salah and he says it out loud, is that a problem? It's not a big deal. يعني, they're just following another opinion. Yeah, don't break your salah and leave. It's acceptable. Yeah, it's an acceptable opinion. He says, then recite Surah Al-Fatiha. Okay? So he says here, ثم يستعيذ ثم يبسمل. So الاستعاذة is أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والبسملة is بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. What's الحوقلة؟ لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. There's a name for all. طيب. جميل. ثم يبسمل سرا, right? Quietly. ثم يقرأ الفاتحة مرتبة متوالية وفيها إحدى عشرة تشديدة. This is interesting. So now he says, now he reads the Fatiha. Al-Fatiha is a rukun. We have a hadith, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he says, where's the hadith? That, لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب. There's no salah for the person who does not read Fatiha al-Kitab. And this brought some problems. Why? Because some of the madhahab, they said, well, some of the ulama said, well, now even the one who's following, because now when we're talking about sifat al-salah, you have to now use your brain and say, well, there's the imam, and there's the ma'moom, and there's the munfarid. There's the imam, the one who's leading, and then there's the follower, okay? And then there's the individual who prays by himself. So sometimes the rulings here will change, right? So what was the issue? Well, some of them said, well, if the hadith says there's no salah, then when the imam is saying the Fatiha, the one behind him, does he have to say it or no? So a group of them said, well, the hadith says there's no salah for him, so he has to say it. How is he going to say it? Some said, well, he says it with the imam. Some said, he waits till the imam is done and then he says it. Alhamdulillah, like really fast, right? The Hanabila say no. You know, everybody relax. The follower, the ma'moom, he just follows the imam. And so whatever the imam is done, it's sufficient for everybody behind him, right? And it's a very strong opinion and it makes sense. It makes sense because it doesn't make sense that Allah would want you to read Quran that fast and not understand it. And it doesn't make sense that the imam has to wait for you, give you, like some said, the imam should give a pause after he's done his Fatiha, so then the guy behind him reads it. And it doesn't make sense that you're reading while he's reading, because the whole point is that he's the imam and you're listening to him. Agreed? It makes sense, right? The other said no, just in case. What if his salah is not accepted? You know? Allah alam, it's jihad, and inshallah, whichever one you follow. But the madhab says you don't have to do it yourself. So he says now, then he recites Surah Al-Fatiha. This is a rukun. If you don't read Fatiha, and if you get up from Salah, and this happens many times, and you get up from your first rak'ah, and you're like, Allahu Akbar, wal asr inna salaf, okay, and then you say, Allahu Akbar. Was that a rak'ah? Did that count? It didn't count. You skipped Fatiha. Okay, so if you go straight into like any surah without Al-Fatiha, you have to redo that rak'ah. You have to redo that rak'ah. And Salat, is Salat al-Sahw going to be enough? We're going to find out later, it's not enough. For the arkan, Salat al-Sahw is not enough. For the wajibat, if you forgot them, Salat al-Sahw will be enough. Okay, that chapter is coming, inshallah, maybe in 2 weeks. طيب, it must be said in order without gaps. Okay, so he's saying you have to say in order, yani just so you actually say the Fatiha properly. And then look how strict they are. They say it has 11 tashdeedat. What's a tashdeeda? Yani a shadda. What's a shadda? Huh? Shadda on طبعاً. If I have a word, Rabb, has a shadda, right? Rabb. طيب, the word Rabb, how many ba's does it have? Huh? One opinion is one. Any second opinion? Two. Naam, it has two actually. And because when you say Rabb, Rabbi, Rabbu, Rabba, it's Ra, Fatha, Ba, Sukun, Rabb. And then the other one is the mutaharrika, ba, bibu, right? So, but in Arabic, instead of writing two ba's next to each other, one with sukun, one with fatha, or one with kasr, or sukun, or dhamma, or whatever, they just put a shadda. So whenever you see a shadda, it's actually two letters. Whenever you see a shadda, it's actually two letters. I know, amazing. For they say, well, if someone says, الحمد لله رب العالمين رب العالمين. He's basically left out what a letter from Surah Al-Fatiha, and they say خلاص, then his salah might not be valid. That's how it's strict there. So that's why Al-Fatiha is so important to memorize it properly. Make sure it's checked by your sheikh, right? Because if you're making mistakes in it, you're missing. If you're missing a whole word, يعني your rak'ah, your salah might not be counting because of salah. Unless you have an excuse, you're a new Muslim, you're learning. Tamam, it's a bit flexible. So he's saying you're not reciting them means you are skipping letters, thus invalidating the prayer. So they actually say, يعني تبطل صلاته. He says here, نعم. Yeah, so he says you have to say those تشديدات. And their proof is the hadith I mentioned. There's no salah for who doesn't read Surah Al-Fatiha. And that's why, especially for the imam, we cannot let someone who does not know the Fatiha pray, because it can invalidate what? All of our salah, all of us. Because if you're going with the Hanbali madhab, and you're saying that the imam suffices, if the imam messes up, right, his salah, it might also mess up all our salah. And that's why it's important that we make sure that the person who leads salah, and for you and for me and whoever is here, before you step up to lead the salah, you know, you need to make sure that this is your mas'uliyah, that you know Surah Al-Fatiha very well. If you don't, then you shouldn't. You shouldn't be leading the salah. طيب, so he says here, ثم يقول وإذا فرغ قال وإذا فرغ قال آمين. يعني when he's done with it, he says آمين. يجهر بها إمام ومأموم. So إمام is the إمام, and the مأموم is the follower. معا في جهرية. الجهرية, what does it mean? In the loud prayers. And we're going to talk about which ones are the loud prayers. وغيرهما فيما يجهر فيه, and the other salat that you read loud in. Which ones are they? We'll talk about them right now. But here he says, you say Ameen out loud in the loud prayers. Both the Imam and the follower. The Imam and the follower. So right now, if we pray Isha right now, the Imam will say Ameen, and the follower say Ameen. It's better, Naam. Quietly, there's no need to do it loud. There's no need for him to do it loud. He says it so he can hear it. Yeah, so there's no need for it. Does it ruin his salah? No, because it's from dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we don't have any narrations or anything that you say it loud. The Ameen, we have a narration. Yani saying Ameen, it says here, شوف, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, this is hadith Abu Huraira, إذا فرغ من قراءة أم القرآن, which is الفاتحة, رفع صوته وقال أمين. رفع صوته. But in the other ones, it doesn't say رفع صوته. Okay, so here we know for sure that he would say أمين. He would raise his voice. واضح. But so the أصل is that you say it so you can hear it yourself. نعم. It's right here. So women do not say out loud unless there's no men. If there's no men, they can say أمين. ما في مشكلة. نعم. They can say Ameen, yeah, to themselves, يعني Ameen, Ameen, right? And we'll see here that in the Salat al-Jahriya, in the loud prayers, where you read out loud, you can opt to not read out loud. Like, it's not haram to do that. So if you pray Isha at home, أنت مخير to do it out loud or quietly. حتى the person who stands up after the مسبوخ, يعني the one who comes and continues with the Imam, like he comes late, in Maghrib, you see some of them read loud. That's your option, and you can do it quietly. You don't have to do it loud. طيب. So it says the Imam should also shortly pause before saying Ameen. And then women do not say anything out loud unless there's no men. طيب. Now he talks about, so وَيُسَنُّ جَهْرُ إِمَامٍ بِقِرَاءَةِ صُبْحٍ وَجُمْعَةٍ وَعِيدٍ وَكُسُوفٍ وَاسْتِسْقَاءٍ وَأُولَيَيْ مَغْرِبْ وَعِشَاءٍ. So now he says, it is sunnah to do fajr. So now we're talking about which salahs do you read loud? Fajr, and jum'ah, and eid, okay, and salat al-kusuf, right? The eclipse. Salat al-istisqa. I don't know if you've ever done one here before, but salat al-istisqa was when you ask for water, right? And maghrib, and the first two in maghrib and isha. He says here, وَأُولَتَيْ وَأُولَيَيْ مَغْرِبٍ وَعِشَاءٍ. And the first two in Maghrib and Isha. Those are prayed loud. It is not makruh to not do them out loud. So you can do that. That's up to you. It's not makruh to not do them out loud. Na'am. Can the one behind, the follower, can he say it out loud? Right? Here the author, he says, وَيُكْرَهُ لِمَأْمُومُ يعني يُكْرَهُ لِمَأْمُومُ to read loud. يعني it's makruh for the one who's following the imam behind, يعني he starts reading loud. It's makruh to do that. So you should keep it quiet because you're going to be disturbing. You're going to be disturbing other people. نعم. وَيُخَيَّرُ مُنْفَرِدٌ وَنَحْوُهُ Yeah, and the person who prays by himself, it's up to him. So if you want to pray Isha at home, if you're going to pray Isha at home, do you have to do it loud? You don't have to do it loud. Okay? If someone joins you, you should do it loud. If someone joins you, then it makes sense for you to do it loud. Tamam? So he says here, where were we? نعم. سنة تدو فجر جمعة عيد كسوف استسقاء مغرب and عشاء out loud. It is not disliked to not do them out loud. It is disliked for the follower to recite behind the imam in the loud prayers. Yeah, it's disliked to do that because he is ordered to listen. In the madhab, the follower doesn't need to recite Fatiha. We mentioned that. So that you don't need to recite Fatiha. You should be fine, inshallah. And the ijtihad of Imam Ahmad and his يعني, and his students, it's sufficient, يعني. And it's not his opinion only. And then he says, when praying a loud prayer alone, it is up to him whether to recite out loud or not. Same with one who joined the prayer late behind the imam in a loud prayer. يعني the person who comes and he reaches the last rak'ah of Maghrib, he can get up and pray the ones he missed out loud. It's up to him. Or he can do it quietly. Both are accepted. He says, ثُمَّ يَقْرَأْ بَعْدَهَا سُورَةً فِي الصُّبْحِ مِنْ طِوَالِ الْمُفَصَّلِ والمغرب من قصاره والباقي من من أوساطه. So now he talks about, طبعا, if you read in some of the narrations of the Sahaba, they would break up the Quran in how many parts? Anybody know? طبعا, we know there's 30 juz, but they would they had this tradition where they would try to do khatm al Quran every 7 days. So they would break up the Quran in 7 parts. The last part is called al Mufassal. The last part is called Al-Mufassal. And by the way, yani, this is not something unrealistic. I know shuyukh personally that do that. Yani, worst case scenario, they finish it in 10 days, the Quran. Right? A lot of them, they'll finish it in 7 days. So they'll break it up into 7 portions. Right? The last portion is from Qaf until Surah An-Nas. From Surah Qaf, chapter 50. And they call this Al-Mufassal. And so they say, from Qaf to Nas is the Mufassal. This is the 7th part. And they say that in Fajr, he can read the long ones, like from Qaf to Mursalat, from chapter 50 to chapter 77. And then he says in Maghrib, the short ones, like Duha to Nas. And the rest of the Salawat, he can read from the middle, like from Naba to Layl, right? From Naba to Layl. And then you have Duha to Nas, right? Do you have to do that? No. And you can read similar length surahs, if that makes sense. So, مثلاً, he's saying that you can in Fajr read from Qaf to Mursalat. You want to read, how many pages is Qaf? 3 or 4? Right? Huh? 2.5? So, you can read, مثلاً, 2.5 from Baqarah or something. It's the equivalent of it. This is nice because it gives you, this is what the Prophet ﷺ would do. Right? And it makes sense in مثلاً, Maghrib Salah, people are like, they're coming, they're tired. You make it short. تمام? In Isha, people, it's a bit more lax. In Fajr, it's a bit more lax. From the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, he would make Fajr the longest. He would make Fajr the longest. And if you go to the Haram, to Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, you will see that. You'll see usually Fajr, Maghrib is short, Fajr is long, right? And Isha is like in the middle. طيب. So this is the surahs you would read. Is it bad if you read like long? It is makruh, and it might be, يعني, Allah Alam, you might be sinful if you do it as an imam and it's too long, right? Because we have the hadith of Mu'ad. If you remember, we mentioned Mu'ad, he would pray with the Prophet ﷺ, then go and lead his people. And then one time he read too long. And then a person actually left the salah. And then he complained to the Prophet ﷺ. And so the Prophet ﷺ told him, Afattan, and are you a fattan? Are you someone who's going to cause fitna, cause people to leave salah? So, yeah, a person has to be careful, right? If he's praying too long, if he's by himself, no problem. Go ahead and do Baqarah. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, The salawat that he prayed long, it's the ones that he prayed by himself. You'd have a sahabi next to him, and he'll tell us the narration. Like the narration of, I can't remember the name of the sahabi, but he prayed Baqarah, Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Al-Nisa, and Surah Al-Imran, right? In two rak'ahs, right? So the Prophet ﷺ, he would do that, and you can do that yourself. ما في مشكلة. طيب, so he will go into ruku' now. So now we're going into ruku'. نعم. نعم. So now he says, ثم يركع. So now we have something called الركوع. Okay. الركوع. So الركوع is basically when you're going like this. That's الركوع. So he says, ثم يركع مكبرا. So you have to do takbir. So you're doing Allah, and then while you're doing it, you're going to ركوع. ثم يركع مكبرا رافعا يديه. So you do raise your hands. You do raise your hands here. رافعا يديه. So you raise your hand and you go down to ركوع. ثم يضعهما على ركبتيه. الركبة. What's the ركبة? ركبة is your knee, right? So when you do your ركوع, you go Allahu Akbar, and then you put your hands on your ركبتين, on your knees. Put them on your knees. Inshallah, when we finish the whole description, we'll do a whole demonstration. Inshallah, so everybody can see it. So he says, ثم يضعهما, يعني his hands, his both hands, he puts them على ركبتيه, his two ركبز, his two knees. مفرجتي الأصابع, يعني the أصابع are opened, don't close them. He says you leave them loose naturally, يعني just leave them naturally, natural. ويسوي ظهره. يسوي, يعني he balances his back. And this is something that is recommended, that if you're able to kind of make your back flat, then this is something that is recommended, and it's from the sunnah. So he says here, he will go into ruku' by saying takbir and raise his hands. He will put his hands on his knees and separate his fingers. This is a sunnah. He will straighten his back, another sunnah. Right? And I'm mentioning here the hukum, the sunnah, so someone knows if I don't do it, or my back hurts or whatever, or I see someone not do it, يعني, there's no blame upon him. You can't just go tell him, Habibi, يعني, fix your salah. It's something sunnah, and it's recommended. You get ajr for it. You get extra reward for it. But we should try to, because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, what sallu kama ra'aytumun yusalli. Pray the way you saw me pray, the way you see me pray. And so the more you try to get closer to the sunnah, the more rewarding your salah is. طيب, we got 10 minutes, right? طيب, تفضل. Raising the hand, where? لا, here's where did I say sunnah? It's saying here, لا, separating the fingers is the sunnah. It's sunnah. You need to raise your hand. التكبير. نعم. And inshallah, once we finish the whole description, we're gonna basically all the things that I mentioned here, we'll label them as rukun, as a wajib, and as a sunnah. So you'll be able to basically go through the whole description and be able to label every action. Here, I'll try to sometimes put, just so people know, okay? Then he says he will straighten his back, sunnah. And then he says what? Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. And this is said how many times? What's the minimum? One. If you just say it once, that's enough. If you just say it once, that is enough, okay? but that is fard. That is a wajib. And that is, you have to do it. You have to do it. If you don't do it once, then you have to do it sahu, right? So it says here, Subhan Rabbil Azim. And Subhan, the word Subhanak, Subhana, you know, Subhanallah. Sometimes we don't understand, يعني, it's a very powerful word. It's a very, here you're basically, you're removing, you're saying, oh Allah, you're so far from any imperfection. That's what Subhanallah, that's probably the best way you can think of it. How, يعني, how far from any imperfection you are, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So, Subhana Rabbi Al Azim. Yeah, far removed from every imperfection is my Rabb, the Great, Al-Azim, the Great. The least perfection, he says here, يعني, he says here, ثلاثاً وهو أدنى الكمال. يعني أدنى الكمال, يعني if you want to be كامل, يعني complete, you do it three times. أدنى الكمال, okay? If you do one, that's sufficient. يعني كافي, يجزي, okay? One time is fard. Some narrations mention that the Imam should do it 10 times, يعني that's like the best. There's no real proof. يعني you can do it as many times as you want. As an individual, you can do it as many times as you want. تمام. There's no reason to stop. We know that salatul, which salah has really long ruku'ah? We did it here like a few months ago. Yeah, salatul kusuf. Do you remember how long? And this is from the sunnah. And so if in there, are you going to say it 3 times, 10 times? Probably more, right? You do it more. And there's some other adhkar that you say, du'as, right? A person praying alone can say it any amount of time, yeah. And there's no problem. You're doing tasbih, and you're glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's nothing wrong with that, and you're in a state of ruku'. You're in a state of ruku'. Tayyib. He says, then he raises his head and hands and says, yes. Now he says, ثُمَّ يَرْفَعْ رَأْسَهُ. Now he raises his head. So remember now, because I'm in ruku', so my head is down like this. So now, يَرْفَعْ رَأْسَهُ ثُمَّ يَرْفَعْ رَأْسَهُ وَيَدَيْهِ مَعَهُ. So he raises his head, رَأْسَهُ وَيَدَيْهِ مَعَهُ, and his hands with them, قَائِلًا سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدًا. Okay, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدًا. So now he raises his hands, right? سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدًا. What does it mean, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدًا? يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listens and hears the one who praises him, right? And this is beautiful because, يعني, right after that, you're going where now? Right after you're going to sujood. And that's the best place for dua, right? And if you really reflect upon that, you're saying Allah listens to the one who praises him. So if you want Allah to listen to your dua and your sujood that's coming up, make sure that you what? That you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah's telling you, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ, right? Allah will listen, يعني answer the dua and listen to the one who praises him. For what should you make? A lot of praise. And that's why here, when you say سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ, he says, وَبَعْدَ انْتِصَابِهِ, and when he's like straight, what does he say? رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ. يعني all hamd belongs to you, O Allah. And then you can add even more. Yeah? وَمِلْأَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمِلْأَ الْأَرْضِ وَمِلْأَ مَا شِئْتَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ بَعْدَهِ, right? And there's even other du'as that basically it's increasing the hamd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it's going to, inshallah, increase your chances of your du'a being answered, right? Mm-hmm. Fadl. Yeah, who says it? I'm going to say it right now, who says it? So he says here, so this is the imam, okay? وَمَأْمُوم, the follower, رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ فَقَطْ. So in the madhab, the follower, he just says, رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ. So, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ, the imam does it. Okay? رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ. Okay, both of them, the ma'moom and the imam. The long dua, مِلْأَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمِلْأَ الْأَرْضِ وَمِلْأَ مَا شِئْتَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ بَعْدَهُ. And also there's another, right? رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ, حَمْدًا كَثِيرًا طَيِّبًا مُبَارَكًا فِيهِ, right? These du'as, the imam does it, and it's sufficient for everybody else. And it's sufficient for somebody else. I think there's another riwayah in the madhab that you can, the ma'mum can do it as well. It's not a big deal, yani. It's pretty flexible. So then he raises his head and says, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ. Allah hears the one who praises him. And an individual must say it as well, but the follower should not say it, right? The follower should not say it. So the individual, if you're praying home by yourself, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ رَبَّنَا وَكَ الْحَمْدُ. But if you're a follower, رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ, يعني حَمْدِ belongs to you, O Allah. And it doesn't say anything more. Recommended to add other adhkars mentioned in text for imam or individual only. Yeah, the imam or the individual only, not the follower. Right? And we said some of them, right? رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ, حَمْدًا كَثِيرًا طَيِّبًا مُبَارَكًا فِيهِ. And there's another one, مِلْأَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَمِلْأَ الْأَرْضِ. يعني your حَمْد يعني goes as wide as the سَمَوَات. Right, the heavens, yeah, and the earth. That's how wide your hand goes. Basically, just expressing, increasing the hand for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, he should not say anything more. Yeah, you have a choice of whether to place the hands on the back. So now, if you said سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ, you said سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ. You can put your hands back here, or you can leave them down. عادي. Yeah. So in the madhab, you can do both. Both are fine. I think there's narrations showing both of them. فأنت متخير, يعني you can do both of them. ثم يكبر. طيب. We can cover this one as well. ثم يكبر ويسجد على الأعضاء السبعة. طيب. So now we're about to go into what? Into sujood. And this is the closest place that a abd is with his Lord. This is the closest place that a person is with his Lord, right? And so now you're going into sujood. So then he says takbira, and he prostrates on seven parts. What are the seven? Ya Allah, who can tell us? As-sab'a. So umirtu, there's a hadith, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, I was commanded, ya umirtu an asjuda ala sab'ata a'azam, right? Ala al-jubha wa, you guys tell me, ya Allah, bismillah. So al-jubha is here, right? And it includes the nose, right? Includes the nose. So that's one. What else? Two, three, four, five, knees, six, seven, the feet. Tamam? So this is very important. Why? Because sometimes you see people, like when they're praying, they raise their feet on the back. You guys have seen that before, right? They raise their feet on the back. Maybe they're, yani, I don't know, they're trying to fly or something. But they raise their feet in the back. And so that's not allowed in the salah. They have to touch. Umirtu, look what the hadith says. I've been commanded an asjuda ala sab'ati, to prostrate on seven, right? And he mentioned the seven. So this is a command. This is not something that, and so you have to make sure that you are on those seven. So now here's the question. I'm going from, you know, sami Allah alhamdulillah rabbana wa alhamd, either I do that or put that. Do I go on my hands first or on my knees first? Huh? So there's a ikhtilaf here. There's a big ikhtilaf, يعني, because we have two ahadith, right? We have the famous hadith of what's the sahabi's name, where basically he says that I saw the Prophet ﷺ go down on his hands first, okay? And then there's the other hadith. I don't know if I have it right here. Yeah, and there's the other hadith of Abu Huraira, where the yani he said that the Prophet ﷺ said that a person should go down like the camel. Maybe we've heard that hadith before. Buruk al-jamal. Yeah? Buruk al-jamal, buruk is the way the jamal goes down. And they said that the jamal goes down with his arms first. Yeah? It's weird. If you ever seen a camel go down, it's a very yani unique way. It goes down like this, something like that. Tamam? فشيخ الألباني made that رحمه الله made that hadith صحيح, and he made the first one weak. So that's why there's a difference of opinion. But in the madhab, you go down on your knees first. You go down on your knees first. So knees first, then hands. Do not raise your hands before going into sujood. Yeah. So this is yeah. So if I'm here, okay. سمي الله الحمد ربنا وكل الحمد or ربنا وكل الحمد. Do I now say Allahu Akbar? Go down. No. He says you don't raise your hand. You don't raise your hand when you're going from standing to sujood. You don't raise your hand for that. So do not use your hands before going to sujood. So the seven parts, we said the forehead, two hands, two knees, two feet. And this is fard, you have to do it. That means if you don't do it, then you have to pray sahu for that. طيب. Jameel, if forehead alone without nose. Can you do the forehead without nose? It should be fine. He says forehead alone without nose, it's enough. But But it's sunnah to do both of them. Tamam. And if you don't have to have something in between, don't. Like people sometimes have a hat or something. It's just better to go يعني, directly on the earth. Prostrating with bare knees without covering is disliked. Naam. طبعًا, we know that the awrah is up to the knees, right? Up to the rukbatain. And so it's disliked for someone to have that covered because it could actually, يعني, you might lose your salah. Why? Why? Because your awrah has to be covered, right? And if you're covering right on the line, some people, you know, they pull their shorts down and they're like, I'm covered. And then it goes up, then your salah technically, if you don't cover it back, you could lose your salah. Because remember we said that if you uncover your awrah for a little bit, something small for a little bit, it should be fine if you cover it again. But if you leave it for a long time, then your salah will be invalid. Your salah will be invalid. So it's disliked to leave the knee uncovered. طيب, جميل. That's good. I think we're good there. طيب. Yeah, what about the knees? Do you keep them together when you go down? And your feet, or do you spread them out a bit? He mentions here that it's from the sunnah to separate the two knees and feet. Okay, you spread them. طبعًا not too wide, but you don't put them together, right? And then what do you say when you're in sujood? Subhana Rabbi. Subhana Rabbi. And then here you're praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again. And same thing, minimum is one. That's the fard. Okay? Akmal, yani, the most complete is, Adna al-Kamal is three. Yes, and now he gets to the iftirash, and we'll probably stop right here. And then he says he gets into the position of iftirash. Well, iftirash is basically when your left foot is under your back, okay, your backside, and your other foot is standing. So the left foot is under, and then this is me, right? For you, it would be the other way. Your left foot is like under your back, and your right foot is standing, or it's flat like this, but it's like facing the Qibla kind of. This is called the position of al-iftirash, and this is now where he's coming and he says, Rabbi ghfirli, Rabbi ghfirli, Rabbi ghfirli, right? طيب. Let's stop here, inshallah, and we'll continue from there. Now that we're in we're almost done, pretty much done a whole rak'ah, I think. Yeah. ثم يرفع مكبرا ويجلس مفترشا ويقول ربي اغفر لي. We said that he says, oh Allah forgive me three times. ثلاثا وهو أكمله ويسجد الثانية كذلك. Right, and then he does the sajda. Okay, then he gets up. Okay, then he gets up. He can get up like he can get up like this. Like when he's getting up, he can get up using his supporting of his knees or his thighs. That's fine. He can do that. He says وينهض. ثم مكبرا معتمدا على على ركبتيه بيديه. He can do that, okay, on his knees, يعني to get up, there's no problem with that. فانشق فبالأرض. He can also use the floor to get up, ما في مشكلة to do that. فيأتي بمثله. Yeah. طيب. Yeah, so now we get back up to the top, and then inshallah from there we'll continue next week. We'll stop there for the adhan. بارك الله فيكم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاكم الله خير.